Welcome to Car Free Conversations. This is a podcast where we talk about making the most of St. Pete without the need of a car. I'm Domenico.
And I'm Sumitra.
And today we're going to talk about a little bit of history. Sumitra, you came up with this topic and you found out about it through a podcast, right?
Yes. So for those who are listening, Domenico, I, and our producer, Nicole, we have a Slack channel. Yes, we are very professional. And on the Slack channel, I sent an episode of a podcast called Criminal that's hosted by Phoebe Judge. It is produced by Vox Media. And on an episode that aired on May 4, 2024, Phoebe talked about jaywalking and history of jaywalking, or like how jaywalking became a criminal offense. The episode was called The Right of Way. And so I sent that episode to the Slack channel as a topic that we could discuss.
Yeah, and it reminded me of an episode of Adam Ruins Everything where he talks about the same thing, because at one point in history, our streets were multi-use. They were for everyone. So you had pedestrians, bicyclists, and eventually even cars going down the street. And there was no, in a way, there was no right of way, right? You know, people kind of managed their way through the streets by just being smart about it. And cars weren't very fast in the very beginning. So it was a lot easier. I just have to say this, okay, this is very off topic, but I listened to the podcast, as Sumitra mentioned, and I'm not a big podcast listener, but I couldn't help but notice the way her name's Phoebe,
yeah,
speaks, and she speaks as if she's like trying to soothe a screaming toddler while having like a mouthful of mothballs or something. And I couldn't get over that, and I think that's why I have trouble getting into podcasts. But it was a very good and informative podcast, and it starts out with a kind of a harrowing story about police brutality.
Yes, it does. It starts off with a story of Tupac Shakur when he was very young in Oakland, and how he was walking with a couple of friends, and he was approached by two police officers who asked him for his name and then kind of made a comment about his name, or like how, like, why would anyone name their child Tupac? And then he, being very young, you know, kind of told them off in a way. And the police, instead of just giving him ticket and letting him go, assaulted him, putting him in the hospital, and then giving him or charging him with assaulting a police officer or something like that.
Well, eventually they got charged with jaywalking, apparently, was the
well, he was just right. Give me the ticket for jaywalking, but instead they assaulted him and then actually charged him with assaulting the police officer, which is like wild.
It is really sad. Yes.
And but he was, being Tupac, he was able to afford a good criminal attorney. Yeah. And then the criminal attorney was able to actually sue the city of Oakland, and they got his conviction overturned. But so the podcast starts there because they were trying to make a connection between jaywalking and how like people were being charged for jaywalking,
right? And how it's like a criminal thing,
right,
now,
right?
Right. And they talk about the term jaywalking was invented. Okay, this is shocking but not surprising. The term jaywalking was invented by the automobile industry to villainize people who were getting hit by cars.
Yeah, so let's go back and like look at a little bit of a history there. So in 1908, Ford Model T came out, and it made cars suddenly much more affordable. At that time, cars would cost $2,000, $3,000, which was a lot of money in 1908. And suddenly Model T came out, and it was only costing like $850. And so cars became much more popular. They kind of became much more affordable. And because there were no rules to how people would use the streets, suddenly the cars became like these machines that were just barreling down the streets. And in the spring of 1920, A boy was killed in Philadelphia when a car jumped the curb. 2 years later, his brother was also killed in like a similar accident where a car hit him. And his father wrote to J. Edgar Hoover, who was the who was like a Homeland Secretary or something like that, in order to kind of talk about how cars have become like these killing machines that have killed both of his boys.
And something needed to be done.
Right, and something needed
to
be done.
He wanted some kind of legislation to sort of curb the vehicles, because the way the perspective at the time was that automobiles and their drivers were killing innocent people.
Right.
And then the automobile industry obviously didn't like that narrative, so they changed it.
Well, and let's talk about some numbers. In 1920s, cars killed over 200,000 people in the US. That's so many people being mauled down by cars.
Karen's in her eyes just long ago. She's like, what? Yeah, that's an incredible amount of people.
And it said 7,000 of them were children, right? So, like, that's so many people being killed by cars just in, like, that decade. And as the deaths from car accidents climbed higher and higher, George Graham, who was an automobile executive, told his colleagues that the pedestrian must be educated. He used this word.
Wow.
He used this word. He used the word, pedestrians must be educated. To know that automobiles have rights. Which
is wild.
Blew my mind.
Yes.
Blew my mind.
It's wild. It's wild. But we could take this conversation a lot of ways just from that statement. Automobiles have rights.
And so in 1924, Graham started the service where newspapers sent in reports of car accidents to the service, and in turn, the service sent ways to avoid these accidents.
And what were the ways?
And soon, the newspapers started reporting that 70 to 80% of the accidents were the fault of the pedestrians and not the drivers, who were not trained to drive a car, right? There was no driver's ed.
There was no driver's ed. That's an important thing to note.
Yeah.
There was no driver's ed at this point. So you have people operating vehicles without, they're just like winging it. They're just like, I can figure this out. And that's why they're doing things like jumping curbs and hitting kids.
Right. And like, they just didn't know that they could curb their speed if they saw someone on the road. Right, there was like there was no education on like how to operate this machine on an open street, and the streets were open back then.
Right,
like anyone could use it anyhow they want.
And so, because of what the automobile industry was doing, the narrative focused to the victims as being at fault, and they needed to do something to avoid being killed. And eventually, right, this became legislation in some cities.
Well, so what happened is, so first of all, the term jaywalking, right? Jay was like this adjective that was being used back then to denote like a person that was uncouth, a person that was like rural, a person
it was like a very offensive slur.
Yeah, it was a very offensive slur at the time. Yeah. And so the car companies started using this term to refer to pedestrians who didn't know, quote unquote, how to use the streets when the car was around.
Right.
And so a jaywalker kind of became like this very a slur. Car companies started using this slur to refer to pedestrians that way.
It was convenient because the term J at the time was a word on its own, slur on its own, but it could be used as a prefix. So like a J town was a town without like a library.
Yeah.
It was very uneducated, very, very dumb, and you know, not very...
Or like not with the modern times.
Right, not with the modern times, I should say. Yes, yes.
And I found this bit of trivia very interesting. A Packard Motor Company built a float where like, so car companies would do these like safety parades to like tell people how to be safe on the street from their own machines that they were making and selling. And so the Packard Motor Company built like this float in the form of a coffin, and it read, "Erected in the memory of Mr. J. Walker, who stepped off the curb without looking." And the Detroit, like, Automobile Club or something gave them, like, a prize for, like, the best float in this parade, which also tells you, like, and, you know, it's very funny to me, like, Packard is no longer there as a motor company, which kind of is also, like, full circle that they made, like, this coffin to refer to pedestrians and, like, they are no longer, like, with us.
Always the artist.
Right, exactly.
The poetry, yes.
And like, you know, so because car companies were using, like, this term jaywalker, and they were referring to them as these uncouth people, not with modern times, newspaper, like, so there is this instance of a newspaper in San Francisco who asked readers whether jaywalkers should be jailed. So I think that's when we kind of first start getting, like, this notion that people who are jaywalking should be criminalized in some form. And that's how, like, the city started passing all these laws that made jaywalking illegal.
And at first, there was some backlash to the legislation, and people were trying to fight back and be like, this is wrong. You know, you shouldn't be criminalizing people for just crossing the street. But it didn't work.
Yeah, there are instances in Kansas City where when police started arresting people or pedestrians for jaywalking, there are instances of women who started hitting the police officers with their parasols, saying that, like, no, you can't encroach on my, like, public space this way. Like, it is my right to use the street as I see fit, which I was like, icons, truly icons, right?
I'm just imagining them all well-dressed with their parasols going, fighting off the police.
Yeah, and then, so from then, LA, LA's made a law where the jaywalking was illegal in 1925. It was an ordinance that said that pedestrians could only cross the streets at right angles and at the crosswalks. Other than that, they should stick to sidewalks when they are walking on the streets. And the law was championed by this guy named E.B. Leffords, who was the president of the Southern California Automobile Club. I was like, of course he was championing this law.
Well,
like,
of course. Yes.
Like, this is not a news, or, you know, like, I found it interesting that, you know, like, that of course, like, that's not shocking to any one of us. And then so police started, like, arresting people for jaywalking, but there was a massive backlash against that in LA, and so the car companies figured out a way to have a big public relations campaign where they were like, oh, how can we make it, how can we educate people that this is just not done anymore? And so they started asking police officers to embarrass the jaywalking,
oh, wow,
jaywalkers, so, like, kind of call attention to them so that people would be like, oh, I don't want to be this person that police are doing to. Like, they would whistle at you very loudly. They would kind of point fingers at you. They would, oh, you know, geez, essentially just, like, make a public scene around you if you were jaywalking. And they did it through newspapers and, like, radio. Radio was just starting back then, and so they started using, like, these mediums of, like, mass media to tell people, like, you know, ridicule people, which is kind of interesting. And, like, you know, the point was to create a stigma around jaywalking.
I have a similar experience. But first, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Car Free Conversations on 96.7 Sunshine, and we are talking about the history of jaywalking and the history of streets in America, and how the street turned from being a multi-use right of way for all different types of transportation into being dominated by the car. I was crossing the street at Central one evening. I was just going for a stroll, and I crossed at the crosswalk, mind you. And when I got to the other side, there was a gentleman on the other side And he was an older gentleman, well dressed even. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me and he says, "Excuse me, young man." He said, pointing his finger. He said, "Why did you just cross the street there without waiting for the light?" And I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, I to be honest, you know, we go about our business throughout the day. We're not even conscious of what we're doing. And as far as I was concerned, I crossed the street appropriately. And I might say jaywalking is when you are crossing the street at not the
crosswalk.
The crosswalk, right?
Yeah.
So even if I was... even if I didn't cross when there was the walking man light, I was still following the rules. But this man was shaming me for not following the rules that he thought were in place. So it happens still, right? Like, I think that people are... It's happened to me a few times, actually. I walk everywhere. I don't have a car. So, and it shouldn't be that way, right? But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is very funny. I split my time between here and Chicago. And in Chicago, there are so many pedestrians on the street that, like, people are constantly jaywalking or, like, crossing the street at the crosswalk, even though the light is red, because you can see that there is no car coming. And that car that's coming is only going to be probably, like, driving at a very slower speed because they are driving between two lights or something like that.
Right. And that's a big problem. I think that's what made it so much worse as time went on, is that cars got faster. And as cars got faster, I mean, that's what brings an extra element of danger to the whole situation, right? Because you can't react as quickly.
Right. But
especially if you don't have any driver's ed
also,
back in the
right.
day.
But also as an adult, we know when we are safe on the street. Usually, right? Like, mm-hmm. we have built an awareness around our body where, like, we know that we are safe to cross the street. You don't see any cars or buses
right.
or anything coming your way. You can look both ways and then you cross the street. Like, we know, we have adapted to cars being ubiquitous everywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, I find it very funny that this man was, like, reprimanding you
right.
for being an adult.
There's also no cars on the street. It was like,
right.
it was like 8:30 at
right.
night in downtown.
Right.
I was like, there were no cars. You know, I looked both ways across the street. It was perfectly safe, but he was still upset that I, you know, I think he said something about, you know, the kids ruining the city or something, you know. So I just walked away. I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
Since podcast is not a visual medium, we all just rolled our eyes when Dom said that.
Yeah.
So And so going back to 1925, this ordinance worked, and it is like still like a grandparent of other LA traffic ordinances that we still use. So it's kind of interesting that this law was made in 1925 and it is still being kind of, it's like a basis for like a lot of traffic laws that we still use in the country now. You know, before the jaywalking laws were ubiquitous, the pedestrian had the absolute right to cross anywhere. But when the jaywalking laws came into place, LA Times reported that the traffic had sped up 25%. And so, you know, after they had instituted the jaywalking laws, which I was like, I mean, sure, like, because cars had, like, absolute, like...
I love this culture. And when I say I love, I'm being very sarcastic.
Yeah, I know.
I love this culture of constantly blaming the victim, right? That we have.
In, right.
We don't want to actually solve the problem. So we're going to continuously blame the victim, the person that has the least amount of power in this situation.
Right, exactly.
And say that all of our problems are caused by basically people just trying to cross the street, which is just wild.
And you know, because streets were so open before the jaywalking laws, a public official in Cincinnati, Ohio, said that as the traffic demands grow more acute, the use of the streets for other purposes must be restricted. So this is when we like start seeing, like, you know, saying that the streets only belong to cars and not to anyone else. Because before this, like, the streets were for everyone.
Right.
Like, people use them as they see fit.
Yeah, when you look at old pictures of even St. Pete, you know, these old towns, you'll see a street and there will be streetcars going down it. There will be people walking down it, bicyclists, cars. It's this sort of almost harmonious thing where all sorts of different modes of transportation are using the road. Obviously, we don't see that as much anymore.
Yeah. And also around the same time, like in 1925, Ford Motor Company said that it was making the most amount of cars it had ever made. So like these jaywalking laws worked because the car companies wanted to sell more cars so that people would use more cars. And so it was, you know, they were able to achieve like their goal.
Well, it also changes the behavior, right? Because if you're telling me that I, as a pedestrian, I no longer have the power to go down my own street, obviously my inclination is going to be to buy a car, right? Because now it's like, well, I want to be able to get to where I need to go, and having a car is the only way I can do that now, because the street is not available to me anymore. So it only fueled their profits, really. Plus their cars were only $150 then. For $850, I'll take a few of those today.
I mean, some of the bikes cost $850.
It's true. That's very true.
And if we look at the numbers of households that have cars in the U.S. now, do you want to guess like how many households have cars in the U.S.?
How many? So the number of households in the U.S.
Like percentage.
I'm going to say that, well, we got some big cities. I don't know. I'm gonna say 60% of households have a car in the U.S.
90% of households in the U.S. have at least one car.
90%. So basically, everyone in the country has at least one car.
Yeah. And 20% of people have three or more cars, which is even more shocking.
Wow. Three or more. So. 20% of households have three or more cars?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that is a big
number. I mean, that's a big number.
It is a big number, yeah.
But it is also interesting, even though, like, you know, we do, like, see so much ubiquity with car ownership and driving in the U.S., it has come a full circle that, like, now we see even more cities going for the open streets and like wanting to close streets on Saturdays so that like pedestrians can have full access to the city. So I find it really interesting how we have come a full circle. Like, you know, 100 years ago, like all this started, and now like we are claiming the streets back for our own use, which is kind of really, really like a good trend that's happening.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think that cars are important. And I'm not just saying that because I just learned that everybody basically in the country has a car. But, you know, cars are important, I think, for longer
sure.
trips,
yep.
You know, but to have a need for a car for every single trip that you're making is unsustainable. And it's also not very healthy, in my opinion. I think that a better system would be to have streets that make it safe for people to use without a car, but still have a road network that makes it available for you to take your car to, you know, Sarasota or Miami or wherever you need to go. But, you know, I know personally of people that will take their car to drive like a quarter mile, you know, and that just feels not just unnecessary, but it's just like, you know, I don't know, you know, a short walk could maybe do everybody some good, you know.
I mean, I keep telling that story of like how for one of our neighborhood association meetings. So we were having this meeting in our neighborhood. People drove from their homes to this public place to have a meeting our neighborhood association. And it boggles my mind.
I have the same experience for my neighborhood association. We meet in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can't get. I live in a very small neighborhood.
Same. Yeah.
There's nothing you can't get to in my neighborhood that isn't, you know,
a short walk.
8 minute walk. Without, tops.
Yeah.
Tops. Yeah. And my neighborhood is very shaded. We got lots of trees.
Yeah.
I'm very blessed to live in a very nice neighborhood with lots of trees. It's very, very nice to walk through. But yeah, people drove to, why did you drive? And they're like, oh, do you want to ride back? And I every time I'm like, no, I don't want to ride back. I can just, I'll be there. I'll be home before you would, like, faster if I just walk. It will take me less time to walk than for us to find your car in this parking garage and to have you drive me home. It would be faster, and I get to enjoy a nice, pleasant walk, you know, along the creek or whatever.
So this podcast also talks about how it was kind of like a lie that the Americans chose the car dominance, like, automatically. Like, it was actually, like, the car companies that did, like, so much PR in order to sell their products that... that even the auto manufacturers were trying to figure out how to make cars more popular than riding streetcars and walking, which was much more popular in the 1920s. Because, like, lots of people in big cities like Chicago, Boston, and New York who could easily afford a car weren't buying one because their cities had really good public transit networks.
Right.
And one of the ways the auto manufacturers figured out a way to make people more car dependent was invention of express highways through the cities, because they were like, oh, now people would have to use the cars in order to get around. And that's how kind of America became like this car dominated place, because of this nexus of like highways and car manufacturers and their PR.
Well, I know through, because I studied public transit in my grad studies, I also know that the automobile companies were buying out the, at the time, privately owned streetcar systems. So like Tampa was a streetcar city. I mean, you could take the streetcar anywhere. And Tampa being much smaller at that time, the limits of the city was like the Sulphur Springs, right? And people would take the streetcar up to the Sulphur Springs for the weekend to enjoy a nice weekend in the baths, and then take the streetcars back. People would commute on the streetcars. And as the automobile started to rise, these companies saw an opportunity to buy out these streetcar lines, and they basically just drove them into the ground and basically disassembled that whole system. I would say that it wasn't a completely natural, organic evolution from no cars to cars in this country. And we know that, you know, in other countries it didn't quite happen like that either. You know, it is kind of specific to the country and the, you know, the rise of American automobile manufacturers, you know, Ford's Model T, and he was very smart, very smart people getting as much profit as they could out of the whole thing. So
what I also found interesting about this podcast is they also interviewed this activist in LA who uses his bike quite a lot. And he was talking about his neighborhood where there is this 4-lane bridge over the LA River, which had no sidewalks, and so people couldn't really get from one end of the neighborhood to the other because like there was no sidewalks. People had to like walk, I think he said something like a mile and a half around in order to like get to the other side of the river because there were no sidewalks. And then he said when like he was trying to bike on it, cars were going at like 60 miles per hour on this neighborhood bridge, obviously. And so when city added a bike lane, they also added a sidewalk, but only on one side of the street. And so like still people could only like kind of use it on one side of the street and not the other side of the street. So he started painting crosswalks on this bridge by himself, just to kind of funk the city in a way. Uh-huh. And he said like it was there for a few days, and then city came and painted over it with just black.
Right.
And then he was like, and now it looks like an uncrosswalk, like which is even more prominent because it's just black rather than the crosswalk. Which, you know, I was like, oh, don't give me ideas. But at the end of this podcast, they also talked about how this assembly person in California, who I think represents San Francisco, authored a bill in 2018 called Freedom to Walk Act that decriminalized jaywalking in California. The bill was passed and it took effect in 2023. And so California became only like the third state in the US to decriminalize jaywalking. So we need to figure out like how we can do it all over the country.
I will admit I love our police force here in St. Pete. I really do. I think we're lucky to have a very well trained police force. I have not seen them ticket anyone for jaywalking, which is good, I think. Like there are bigger problems,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know? Like
yeah.
there are definitely bigger issues. My community police officer gives me a report every few weeks about the nonsense that's going on in my neighborhood, and so I know there are definitely bigger issues than people crossing the street not at the crosswalk. So I think that's a good thing. As long as people are, you know, as long as people aren't getting hurt. But even in that, I think that the behavior of the driver, the automobile driver, needs to be changed. I told you the one time that I was crossing the street at a crosswalk when the light was, no, it was at a crosswalk.
It was a stop sign on
It was a
Central,
stop
right?
sign, thank you. It was a stop sign. And as I was crossing, a driver sped up. I guess to hit me. I still don't know like what the driver was trying to accomplish, right? I guess to scare me into running across the street. And me, like a righteous idiot that I am, was like, I'm not going to slow down for him. And he like grazed my hand. And that behavior is unacceptable. Like that is the kind of behavior we need to make sure that we are curbing, not the oh, I, you know, I was not on the
It
crosswalk at the right time.
happened to me last week or like 2 weeks ago on Central. I was crossing, it was like 9 p.m., 9 or 10 p.m. on Central. There were like hardly any cars. And I was crossing and this car came. Instead of stopping, it sped up and almost hit me.
I don't get it. What are they trying to do?
And like on Central, where those crosswalks are, you are supposed to stop as a driver to let people cross because pedestrians have the right of way where the crosswalks are.
I would love to, I would like to challenge Carfi Conversations to bring in and interview one of these drivers so that we can ask them when you see someone crossing the street and you speed up, what is your aim? What are you trying to accomplish here? Do you want to kill me? Because that is literally what will happen, right? I mean, do we all agree that that's what will happen? Can we agree that by speeding up and hitting a pedestrian, you will murder them? And so I just want to know, like, what's the logic here? Like, what's going through your head? Like, is that an okay? Is that what you want to do? Because, you know, murder is not, I mean, we can agree that murder's not good. So,
Well, I don't know how we're going to find that person
yeah,
because the
well,
moment we say we are from Car Free Conversations, they're going to change the tune, probably.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. We need to find someone who's just very ideologically comfortable in their stance that they are king of the highway, I guess.
Or any road for that matter.
Yeah, well, Central is not really a highway, for sure. I mean, that's another thing is that if you want to get someplace fast, Central isn't the street to be going down, right? Central was really for parking, it's for pedestrians, it's for, you know, it's
It's for
meant to
slow
be
traffic.
slower
Yeah, yeah,
traffic, you
yeah.
know. That's why you have First
Right.
Avenue North and First Avenue
Yeah.
South. Those are the more, you know.
Faster roads. Yeah,
Right.
for
Thank you.
sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, can we talk about that Adam Ruins Everything video that you sent me?
If you haven't watched Adam's Ruin Everything, first of all, if you have never watched an episode of Adam's Ruin Everything, it is so entertaining and is so educational. There is An Adam Ruins Everything. I think it's called The History of Jaywalking, and yeah, it's not long. It's like 10 minutes. I highly recommend
it's
you watch
it. 3.5 minutes.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
It just feels so much longer than it's so packed full of stuff.
Yeah.
So what did you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's very funny.
First of all, it's so campy.
It is.
It is so campy. I was like, ooh, I'm here for this. Also, like, I recognized a lot of comedians that were, like, acting in that.
I noticed that, video. Too. And they have, like, really small roles. Yeah. And it's just, like, random. Yeah. Really well done.
And so the sources that we refer to for today's episode, one was a Adam Ruins Everything video, The History of Jaywalking on YouTube, and B, the episode of the podcast Criminal, hosted by Phoebe Judge, produced by Vox Media Network, called The Right of Way, that was aired on May 4, 2024.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. You can find the rest of our, well, if you're listening to this, you already know that you can find the rest of our of these recordings on RadioSaintPete.com. Go to the audio menu and look for Car Free Conversations, and we will be back and we will be talking about more issues around enjoying St. Pete without the use of a car.